At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Take two. Today on Lulz, talking about some DFS topics, talking about topics from the world of sports betting. Is DraftKings coming to your next Delta flight? Will you be able to challenge Adam Levitan to a head-to-head on your next cross-country flight? Tune into Lulz today to find out.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
I said, please don't dupe us. I literally had to dupe the show that I accidentally hit in stream on. I always go to hit, you know, the, for some reason I had in my head. So when the intro plays, because we have the same intro as outro. And so when we're doing the closing of the show, I normally press in stream right as that music is about ending. And something about the Pavlovian response to playing the intro as it was about to end, I just went up and hit in stream without thinking there, Brian. But we are back. We are back.
Have you ever done that? It was bound to happen.
I have not done that in a long time. I mean, I've had some streams that messed up and had to start over, but hitting in stream, I do not think I've done that before.
Well, honest mistake. It's I could see myself doing the very same thing. So what can you do?
We've lost, hundreds and hundreds of our live viewers from this.
That will definitely be our shortest episode.
But people did get to watch me workshop a better cold open in real time. You know, first take, it was a little more general.
I did like the second one better. I like the second one better. Yeah.
There is some truth in that, where it's like, you know, if I actually took time to maybe write out a cold open as opposed to just going off the cuff every time, maybe they would be better.
Yeah. I mean, you got to keep the streams up though going forward. That's definitely cold opens. They're helpful, but keeping the stream live is kind of a very important piece of this, I think.
So here is the story that it just broke. Like within the past hour, some people have been posting it in the Discord. Let me share this on the screen here. So this comes to us from Ryan Butler at Butler Bets, who writes about iCasino, sports betting, gambling stuff. He says, in case you missed it, apparently we did miss it. DraftKings and Delta announced a partnership that will include DraftKings powered gaming options on the back of Delta seatback screens. Further details have not been released, but federal law prohibits real money sports betting while in the air. I assume this is like how you can play like play money blackjack, like on some of those flights or whatever. Is that what this is? Like, what would this be the equivalent for sports betting?
How? My first question is, how did they come up with a law to make sports betting in the air illegal?
Well, is that who like, has...
somebody must have at some point been like, we're going to do our casino in the sky, and there's no laws in the sky, right? It's technically not bound by this, you know, the state laws. So I would bet that's how they passed those laws.
Right, because it makes sense though, right? Like obviously if you try to go do an underdog draft or whatever, or what, you know, all of that stuff's geolocated and it'll say like they can't access your location on a plane, so then you can't do it. But I mean, I've bet offshore on a plane. Like, it used to be one of my favorite activities on like a cross country flight. Then, you know, there's a random NBA game or college basketball game. Just be like, go over to the offshore, bet a spread or money line, and just have a sweat while I'm on the plane. But it must just be like legal, sports betting. You're not gonna be able to fire that off.
I'm trying to picture like in 1942 or something, you know, they're outlawing sports betting, and it's like, yeah. You know, these assholes, they're gonna bet in the air too. We got to put illegal in space. If you go to Mars, you cannot fucking sports bet. I won a poker tournament back in the day at one of those Florida casinos. Did you ever do any of those, you know, where you get on a little shuttle boat and it takes you out to a boat casino and it's just outside, you know, legal U.S. waters?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I did it a few times. I got seasick. That was the only time I've ever gotten seasick, because you go on this little shuttle boat and you go in the middle of the ocean. Like, it's pretty far.
Yeah.
So the waves can get pretty damn big. It's not a good idea.
That is funny. So, but like, what do you actually think this is? Because like I said, I've played like, you know, fake money blackjack or they'll let you play poker, you know, and sometimes you can even like get someone from a different seat. You guys can sync up and play, you know, like play money poker. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, what is the DraftKings equivalent of this? I wonder if it is just iGaming, if it is play money roulette, play money blackjack, play money slots. Because I don't actually know what the DFS or sports betting game would be that you could play for free money.
Yeah, I guess they would probably put everything besides sports betting. So like, why wouldn't you just be able to do DFS on there? I mean, that'd be kind of hard on the back of a seat.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you think about a game that if it's on the back of the seat, you have to be able to play it at any time. Like, you got to be in an overnight flight, it'd still be able to pull up the game. So it has to be iGaming stuff.
They do a lot of camel's nose stuff. I've told you about this before. Like, that's a term at Springfield where you kind of just, especially gambling related, you just get whatever you can passed. Like, people try to get like, you know, their dream bills passed, but you just get whatever you can. The analogy is like the camel sticks his nose under the tent, and then when he stands up, the whole tent blows off. And so like, that's how the casinos worked in Illinois. They used to be on just the canals and rivers, because that's technically not on the ground, Pete. It's not on the ground, right? So they like found a loophole. And you know, it's like we'll look the other way because we get tax dollars. And then those people didn't want to take 2-hour trips to go, you know, they wanted to like go on for 30 minutes and come back. You know, they want to be on water. So then they were permanently docked. And then those docks eventually became kind of almost full facilities. And then eventually they're like, ah, fuck it. They'll just build casinos. And so now there's just casinos. So it's like the perfect. So like, if you get whatever you can on these, you know, eventually you work your way to whatever the hell you want. It's in their hand and they're just betting everything.
Week 18, you go on a Delta flight and you get to get a sneak peek of my shell there in the seat back position. See, Consigliere says he thinks this is a sign-up tool. I completely disagree. You've never once inputted your personal information or email in a seat back thing. Like, the whole thing is to create like passive entertainment stuff. It's a branding play for them to have, in the same way like XM will have XM radio stations you can listen on to there. They're not asking for your email to listen to it. They just want the branding of it, of like, oh, maybe you would check it out. They're going to have the iGaming stuff on there and then just hope, oh, I kind of had fun doing this. Maybe when I land, I should go check it out and do it some more when I'm not on a flight.
Yeah. And you know, there's no gambling competition in there. There's no competition right now. So let's be the first ones up there.
What would be the, if you did have a DFS, if they said this was going to be DFS focused, what would be an evergreen DFS game that you could play on a plane?
Showdown. You could watch the Monday Night Football game while you're flying.
What if it was like this, Brian? What if it was like a showdown thing? You pick a lineup, and then on the back end there was like a sim that just simmed out the game, and then it just shows, like, it's almost like a slot machine, and it shows where your lineup would have finished in that specific sim. And then you could just build another lineup, rerun another sim, and you just keep picking teams until you get a score you like.
And okay, and then that actually you actually use that lineup in a real DFS money contest, but that's the game.
The game is just the sim because it's all just play money. So
it's like the Madden sims they did on DraftKings. Yeah. Remember? I think they might even still have them, where they would run Madden games.
Yeah,
and you could gamble on Madden simulations, not even people playing.
Yeah, well, funny stuff there. It is like interesting to think through the marketing lens. You know, it's like, do we get some billboards? Do we do a blimp, one of those flyover planes there? And it's like, well, what if we get in the seat backs of flights there and then board people tabbing through the games? Check it out.
Yeah. It's probably like a can't lose situation for DraftKings. They're like, they got a partnership with Delta. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, whatever we get on there, we get on there. Maybe we could camel's nose it and then have just a shit ton of stuff eventually right in everyone's lap if they want it. Maybe not. Yeah. Maybe it's an ad. Maybe it's ads in some fucking stupid little game that's free money or something. It doesn't like, I don't think they lose either way. Like it maybe, maybe it doesn't even have to go that far, you know? Maybe it's just, some free money games, some advertisements, just a marketing partnership between these two companies.
Yeah. Right. It's just a free roll or what. I mean, I'm sure it's not free, but it's just a marketing kind of
probably
if something can pan out.
For I mean, obviously my theory is these big companies always want regulation. They just lie and say they don't. And then let's say they didn't, as Jason Robbins says publicly, this is just drawing more fucking fire in a time you don't want it, right? There's a lot of bad press around sports betting right now. I think it's just going to get worse over the next year.
Well, the other thing, I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, if you think of the levels of how DraftKings makes money, at the very bottom is DFS, and then a rung up from that is sports betting, and then the holy grail for them is iGaming, and you just coming on there and playing slots and roulette. Like, that's how they make the most money. And even when we read this, like, our brains are warped to DFS, sports betting. And then it's like, you actually start thinking about it and you're like, no, this is going to be an iGaming tool. Like, that's what they're actually trying to get people hooked on. That's how they're going to ultimately make their most money.
That, I mean, that's makes me think, like, I wonder if they'll go easier on sports betting marketing and stuff like that, just because they want to fly under the radar. Cause they really don't want them to crack down on the iGaming.
Right.
Like, that's going to be a moneymaker. And you know, the less they can get regulated on that end. So maybe they won't pump sports betting as much. I don't know. I don't know why they don't make a ton of money on DFS. Like, you know, if you compare it to like Underdog, they're doing like Underdog every weekend, you know, like
every day, by a lot.
Yeah. And there's not that much overlay anymore. Like, it happens, but it's not like a 2016 or something. So, I can't imagine they're not making a shit ton of money in that.
It must still just, the way it scales and what it requires. I mean, the iGaming stuff just has to be such a print fest, too. When you think about, like, what it requires from, even think of DFS and, you know, creating salaries for each slate and, you know, sizing contests. Like, whatever the overhead is to create your iGaming product has to be so low, you know, for that.
Yeah. It's like the casinos, you know, back in the day, I don't know if this was around by where you went to casinos and stuff, but like there was more table games and more poker, and they like slowly, I haven't been to a casino in a while actually, but they like slowly like shrank the table games and brought in the slots. Over time. Does this everyone else's experience, or is this just in Illinois?
But no, like, for sure.
Yeah, like there was a lot more cooler table games back in the day, and then they slowly went slots, and it's same thing.
Well, and it's like the classic, you know, Vegas casino. You go to these, like, even, you know, I think of like the Aria, right? You know, the Aria, really nice hotel. You know, they have just, you know, spread after spread of all their table games. And then, you know, they have like a nice screens in their sports book, but it is the smallest, most condensed little area possible because they don't want anyone putting their feet up and relaxing and chilling there all day. They want you to come in, make your sports bet, maybe glance at the screen and then head over to the table games. Like after, like they don't want you posting up like it's a fucking Starbucks for 8 hours. Like there's smartness to all these designs.
Yeah. That they did that with like McDonald's started that trend. You remember like back in the day, they would purposely make the seats uncomfortable and the straws bigger. So you would drink your drink faster to get out.
Let's see here. What was it? There was this other thing that was popping up about a DraftKings subscription service. Did you see this?
A couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, but did we talk about it?
We didn't talk about it because I didn't fully understand it because I was reading the comments and stuff, and I was like, that can't be right.
Yeah, there's a few different posts about it, some articles. We can try to get to the bottom of it. DraftKings has launched a sports betting subscription service called DraftKings Sportsbook Plus for $20 a month, and a sub offers unlimited stepped-up boost tokens for parlays. It's only available in New York right now. And then it looks like this is a screenshot from the actual DraftKings site. Subscribers will get the unlimited stepped up boost tokens that can be applied to parlays and same game parlays. The max wager is $25 and the max boost is 100% on 11 legs. You will receive your first stepped up boost token within 30 minutes from the time you subscribe to DraftKings Sportsbook Plus.
Okay. We could run the numbers on this and see how much. First of all, even if you won, I can't imagine they're not like stopping your plus plan and limiting you even on $25.
Right.
But like at $25 bet, this is a big thing in DFS, right? Like content and stuff like that is like, well, how much can you charge, you know, for your tool or your product or whatever? Depends on how much the person is betting. You charge $20 a month for $25 max wager. So they got to make, I mean, they can only make 30 of them then, right?
Right.
And so like these boosts.
I wonder if it's like they get you hooked on the boost, right? Because a lot of times they offer this, you know, Underdog offers them and stuff like, hey, you get a 35% boost tonight. You got to, you know, they max it at whatever. And then they go away and you're like, man, I was really enjoying getting those boosts on my pick-ems, on my parlays. And then they offer something like this, say, hey, come pay for this. And then you can get these boosts. But it is a weird thing to triangulate, right? Because you're targeting more like lower level micro stakes bettors who are doing these big parlays and this. And generally, they're not the people who would want to pay for a subscription to help them, right? Like they're normally the people that I'm just going to log onto the app, click some buttons, have a sweat. It's like, who is this for that actually wants to pay a subscription to like get it in better that doesn't realize how hard it is to do on your list framework?
Yeah. That's like a weird market because I would figure you just give this away. You just give the free bets away to whatever, you know, like a certain demographic of your customer base that you use analytics to decide to give it away. I don't know. I don't get it.
And it goes back to that thing we were talking about. What was the stuff we were talking about that DraftKings ended up walking back? The increased, was it an increased hold on some stuff? Oh, no, it was it the legislation stuff about, I'm trying to remember. There was something that DraftKings said they were going to do. We said it was going to be a trial balloon. And then sure enough, two weeks later, they walked it back.
Yeah, it was the paying for the tax in the sports betting slip.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
And they did walk it back.
Right. So I wonder, like, it's also you see a comment like this. This is how it's going to be perceived from a lot of people too. In other words, we're going to give bad odds to anyone who doesn't pay us $20 per month and normal odds for anyone who does. Which might not even be the case, but that is definitely how it would be perceived.
I love the sentence, DK is a criminal. Like DK Metcalf, like it's a person. That does make it confusing. Like that would make more sense. $20 a month and you get 5 cent lines or something.
Right. Well,
then your max bet's $25. So that's perfect because your sharps, they're like $25 isn't going to do anything for them. But someone who's like in between a sharp and a complete donkey would be like, ah, I guess I could just do this for all my Sunday bets and I don't know, lose a little bit of money over the year.
But the reason I was thinking about that, the taxes and like passing it on to the players, we were talking about how like they could just boost the hold in parlays and no one would ever notice, like pass it on to worse odds. It's same with this, right? Where it's like the people who are betting 11 leg parlays, they're not out there calculating the true odds of this. And like, they're not shopping it around, looking at parlay calculators to know like the odds. It's like, I don't know. It is just like a psychological thing, right? It's a weird marketing thing to say, hey, you're going to have this edge on all of these parlays and all you have to do is pay $20 for it. Even though they could literally just boost the hold in those same parlays. And it's as if like the boost was never even given, right? Like those players aren't even going to fact check that.
That makes sense to me. It's like pure Kahneman type of psychology. Right. I think he had that in the book somewhere. I read this where, you know, there's some scenarios where charging is actually better than giving it away. Like, because you give this, well, if it's zero, you know, how good could it be? But if there's some price tag to it, it actually attracts a certain percentage of people. So maybe that's the angle they're going. But I definitely think the boosts is pure pure psychology, right? Where they see that they add the boost, their bet goes from winning $57 to $73. Right.
Oh, I fall for it. I mean, like there's nights that I would not do pick 'em, but I got a boost. All right. Got to make something. What do you got? Oh, there's only NBA on tonight. I don't know NBA. Anybody got a pick 'em? It's like, oh, a boost. I have to take advantage of the discount. Yeah.
It's like the reverse, you know, discount at a store where it's like, oh, it's $12, but it's $8. And they show the, you know, the little slash between the 12 and the number afterwards. And you're like, I'm saving so much money.
Yeah. It's funny. Someone wrote a newsletter and said the specifics are pretty simple. The reactions run the gamut from it being innovative to a sign of the sports betting apocalypse.
Yeah. I would like to, I think I read this. What does Robin say here?
There are multiple levers that we can pull, but our objective is to get that gross margin or better.
Oh, well, great.
That was, yeah.
We want more money. Yes.
All I searched was DraftKings sub, and I'm just scrolling through.
where are they getting the better odds from? I didn't see that anywhere.
No, this
because the boost is a better odd.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. Action had an article.
The $25 max bet. That's the one that doesn't make any sense to me.
A DraftKings spokesperson said the boost range from 10% on a two-leg parlay to 200% or to 100% on long shot tickets of 11 or more legs. Further, the spokesperson said the boosts are only available on parlays in which each leg is minus 500 or shorter.
Right.
Huh. So that they're already covering their ass on their liability on it.
Nitty. They're so nitty. $25 man. You know what I mean? Like when they're writing they're in the marketing room and they're brainstorming this idea. Like what max should we make it? I don't know, a couple $100. No, it's too much. We can't risk it. 25 max. That's all we can. You might get somebody who's good, and at $200, wow, they'll make $11,000 at the end of the year.
Yeah. For example, a two-leg parlay with odds of minus -450 on the first leg and plus +225 on the second leg would be eligible for a 10% boost if it wins. And again, you're maxed at $25.
All this shows for sure too, like the idea of DraftKings becoming a real sports book, like a market making sports book that's taking bets and moving the lines and stuff is not the direction they ever plan on going. They're going to go gamification, you know, innovative partnerships, and limiting the ever-loving shit out of anyone with an IQ over 87.
Well, that's the thing Nolan says here. If you're good, they'll just suspend your subscription.
Yeah. Yeah. We said that in the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what's going to happen. Yeah. I bet if you beat that for like 4 weeks in a row, even at $25, they'll go, sorry, we're canceling your subscription. And then you go try to bet a playoff game a Sunday 5 minutes before kickoff, and they'll cap you at $2.87 on a NFL side.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I just want to know, yeah, who this actually hits with, like who is this demographic? Cause it is really hard to triangulate the exact type of person who would pay for this.
If it was that's why I think it's just a psychology play. Let's charge something that we're giving away and maybe we'll get people, you know, they'll think it's more valuable than it actually is. That's it. Cause it's gotta be like at least $100 for somebody paying $25 a month. They gotta be betting at least $500 a week, right?
Of course. I think so. It's similar to DFS, right? Like people aren't going to pay for a sim product if they're playing.
That's what I'm talking
about. A week. Yeah.
That's what I was saying earlier. So like, if you're not going to pay $25 a month unless you're betting, yeah, $500 a week. Even that's kind of low. That's probably like the lowest. So like you want to be betting a couple hundred a night to pay for some sort of tool. Any tool.
Yeah.
And that's you get a $25 boost, $25 max on what was the sides? You know, so you get a 10% boost on minus 410s or whatever. Like who's gonna sign up for this? And then we click and we look at the lent numbers, it's like millions of people.
There's also an interesting angle to this of why it's starting in New York, right? With the tax implications. So DraftKings' decision to offer its subscription service in New York to select customers offers a few more hints about what it's doing here. For starters, it suggests DK is just trying this out. Maybe it won't become a permanent or widespread thing. Also, New York has a 51% tax rate for online sportsbooks, which is the bane of operators' existence. Finding an additional way to ease that financial burden makes sense.
Yeah.
Coming up with an alternative revenue stream in the high tax bracket states.
Yeah. I've talked about this before too. In Illinois, for certain sin taxes, the state makes it explicitly illegal for like the operator, the company, to show the separate tax cost. So like for cigarettes or something, right? It's whatever, 12, 15, I don't even know what it is, $15 for a pack. They can't show $8.75 for this tax and $2.70, you know, because the cigarettes only cost like $3. It's all taxes. Like you can't show that legally.
Yeah.
It might be the case in some of these states that it's the same thing. And they're just like, okay, how can we charge without saying, hey, this isn't us, without breaking the law? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know who this is for. Cause if you think like
it's for the investors to say, we have another revenue stream.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's possible. If you go like, you know, if you go like Brian, Pete, Vegas Dave is a thing. Who's that other guy we discovered last week? Blaze or whatever his name is.
Oh yeah, Blaze.
He's a thing, right? Anyone, these people will do, you know, anything. They're stupid. It's like, yeah, but they're not the ones looking for this, right? They're not looking for the $25, 10% boost that they can only use once a day, right? That's more like on the sharper side. If anything, yeah. I know it's still donkey play, but like, I don't know. You're not getting them. No sharp is going to sign up for this.
No, it wouldn't even be worth their time, even if they, you know, found the optimal bets for it and all of that. Like at $25 a pop, it's just not worth the.
This is like a tiny bit. Maybe like guys who sign up for like ETR's props thing or stochastics or whatever, odds or odds jam, you know, any of those. And they're like, I'm betting a little bit every day anyways. I'll add this in and it'll be one of my bets. Like it'll do some there every day. I might as well just get this $25 thing. Like, but that's like eight people who will be limited soon anyways.
Right. Is it? Had you heard that? This is funny. This is from this same Covers article about this topic. And I don't know if this is just the classic woe is me from the sports book, but they said DraftKings revised its guidance for 2024 due to the impact of customer-friendly sport outcomes. Favorites kept covering, and it forced DraftKings to brace investors for less. DraftKings lowered its 2024 revenue guidance to a range of $4.85 billion, down from $4.95 billion, and from $5.05 to $5.25 billion. Still a lot, but less. Is that like, that is so funny if it's like, yeah, man, we were on the wrong side of a lot of bets, and but don't worry, we're going to offer this subscription service. We'll get us back to even, guys.
I wonder how much they made in DFS.
Apparently not enough.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there is a cap on DFS of just how big it could actually be, since you have to, like, you know, at least use your brain to put a lineup in.
Yeah.
But I don't see why I couldn't make a ton of money.
It does seem like, you know, even this article mentions it. So a parlay subscription makes sense for DraftKings, which showed last year with its since scrapped plan for a gaming tax surcharge in higher tax states that it isn't afraid to try something different. They're clearly just trying. So these guys are in a meeting every week being like, we need something good, guys. We had to lower our guidance. We need something that can make us more money. And they're throwing a lot of ideas against the wall.
What if we, I don't know, put iGames on airplanes?
Oh, dude. Yes, I know this guy at Delta. I was at the bar with him the other night. He said they actually have an opening programming spot in their seat back right now.
Yes. Yeah. No, it would be like, no, I went to Yale with Bob. He's the head of the seat back department over at Delta.
Yeah, no deals with Southwest, Spirit Air. No TVs in the back of those seats.
Yeah, which is funny because that's where they should be.
Yeah.
They would get a lot of people from Southwest and Spirit gambling it up.
How about this? Yeah, this is, you know what you need? It sounds like another company. Okay, this is what Underdog does. They go to Spirit Air and they say, we're going to have an Underdog tablet that we put, you know, in everybody's little seat back there. Then you pull it out and you got the Underdog games.
Why on Spirit for Underdog? I don't get.
Because they don't have the seat back, the TV. So it's a tablet sponsorship.
Okay. There.
Yeah. So now you have your physical thing there.
I mean, I would like to be distracted if I was on a Spirit flight. You know, I'd like every opportunity to be distracted from imminent death. What if the plane goes down and there's like the pilot was found like drafting his Underdog team. Like he was on the clock.
Yeah.
At the wrong time.
I can only imagine. Yeah. The first plane crash on a Delta.
It's like Patrick Barnes, YouTube is a pilot. And he gets the notification that Davis is drafting live. And he's like, oh, fucking shit. He's hopped onto his phone, plane just nosedive. I gotta get it.
It would be really funny because I had my buddy Michael Dubner on, who is a surgeon, or was it? I forget the exact story he told on After Dark, but something where he was like checking his Underdog exposures, like in between surgeries or something, or like a draft, like confessions from like DFS players that have very important jobs, like them thinking or playing DFS in between that. I would watch a documentary series about that.
I doubt they'd want to partake, but that would be interesting. Yeah.
No, you would need some a heavy dose of truth serum, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's worse things they could be doing, you know? So. Yeah. But
I wonder, yeah, what profession would be pretty problematic to be playing DFS while doing it? Obviously, surgeons.
Oh, professional
pilots are up there.
Professional athlete would be one.
Yeah.
Head coach.
Head coach checking his scores at halftime.
Hey, Ramondre, you're out second half.
I mean, that basically seems what happened with Gerard Mayo. Did you hear that thing where he going into that game, he was like, yeah, we're benching Ramondre for Antonio Gibson. And then they started Antonio Gibson, and someone asked him about it after the game. He's like, oh yeah, I forgot that I said that or something.
I didn't pay attention.
He doesn't have his job anymore. So
I saw that. I saw that. There was a lot of firings. This is weird, right? Like the Bears announcing who they're interviewing. I don't remember that ever happening. Like they tweeted out, we just interviewed, who did they interview? Not Mike McCarthy. They couldn't get Mike McCarthy in.
I saw the Cowboys rejected.
The Cowboys rejected it. They interviewed someone, Vrabel, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
And if you go to the Bears Twitter account, they're like, we just completed an interview with Mike Vrabel or whatever his name is. And it's like, isn't that kind of rude to him and like the other people? I don't know. So like you didn't like him, obviously. I mean, you probably would have offered him a contract if you weren't tweeting this out. I don't remember this being a thing.
I think it is part of like the bigger, I don't know, NFL industrial complex. I feel like every year the reporting on all, obviously it used to just be free agency, right? Like which players are going, but now it just extends to where there's such an appetite from fans into every micro news thing that I wonder if teams and social media sites are like, yeah, just put it out there. Just like, let them know. Like it's another morsel of content to toss the fans. And now everyone just like literally anything that's happening in our orbit, we'll just post it.
Yes. I'm not disputing that. I agree with, I don't think it was happening. So like the last time the Bears were interviewing for head coaches, I doubt they were tweeting out who they interviewed. They did back in the day.
All the candidates were embarrassed to be.
The names were always public and stuff like that because back in the day it was a big they had to interview minority coaches. There was like a quota. I think there probably still is. And so they had to say like, we interviewed Lovie Smith. Like we did our job. That was definitely a thing 15, 20 years ago. So they've been saying it, but I don't think they were tweeting out. We just completed an interview with Eberflus. I don't think that was happening.
It is weird too, because like you would think you would want to be more secretive about it, right? If it was a really hotly contested candidate, you know, like you don't necessarily want to be broadcasting the world like, oh shit, man, we should probably bring that guy in if he just interviewed with the Bears.
It's because they're like just replaceable tokens. They don't know. No one cares. They don't know what they're doing. If there was some hot young, you know, head coach genius that few people knew about, they wouldn't be tweeting it out. Speaking of which, is there anyone the Bears, in your opinion, could sign? Do you think Ben Johnson's the guy or anything?
I mean, Ben Johnson's the one fun name. Everybody wants, you know, like the Jags want him. The, you know, Brady's trying to coax Belichick to not go to UNC so he could go coach the Raiders. But yeah, Ben Johnson is the one name that seems like the big prize this year.
It seems that way too. They just recycle all the same people. It's so annoying. There's got to be some genius in college somewhere, right?
Well, for sure. But then it's like, look at the non, you know, what does Evan Silva call it? The cocoon picks, to your point, where it's like, okay, you know, the Patriots, like Jerod Mayo, sure, he was a player, but he was kind of like this kind of interesting hip choice of like, you have institutional knowledge, but you're not part of like a coaching tree. They fucking fire him. Or Washington gets Ryan Grubb. They're like, oh, you led this really cool offense in college. You know, you don't have, you know, NFL ties. We'll bring you in, fucking canned him. It's like, if you're not part of the cocoon and you don't smash right away, it's like, you're gone.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue they get rid of people fast no matter what these days. Like even if you are in the cocoon, but I would appreciate at least an attempt on someone unknown. It's always like the deep dive is like, oh, he was Belichick's third offensive line coach. It's like, oh, he must be a genius then, you know, like, oh, he was, you know, like Andy Reid. He's Andy Reid adjacent. So.
Well, and
sign I think up. That's like what, that means anything,
right? And it's almost like it's more so about PR optics for your fan base and the media of like, what's this guy's resume? Oh, he comes from this tree without understanding. I mean, Josh McDaniels was always like a poster boy for this, and lots of people from the Belichick tree where they're like, oh, you coached under Belichick, you have to be good. Like McDaniels came to Denver and was a disaster. obviously was a disaster for the Raiders. And it was like, he's clearly just a good offensive coordinator, but doesn't have the robust skill set you need to be a really good NFL head coach, which includes a lot of other skills than just drawing up good plays on the whiteboard. But like on paper, it's like, oh, you're coming off all these Super Bowls with the Patriots. And Denver's like, yeah, yeah, come Josh McDaniels. You'll be perfect for us. And it's like, dude didn't even know how to manage like personalities and players.
And that's like reasonable. I'm talking like they'll go down the Belichick tree or down the Andy Reid tree. And it's like, it's not even the offensive coordinators. And like, how much are they actually doing the play calling and design?
And I think, because all, you know, obviously what the best, because I think for, and just, it's always just fresh in my head, is that was back when I was like a hardcore Broncos fan when McDaniels came over, but there was like a hubris into thinking that you could do everything. And partly I think was an issue with Belichick when he was trying to get a job this offseason, even with, I think he was talking to the Falcons, and there was something where it was like, you know, they still, he wasn't going to have full autonomy, like as a GM to make all these decisions. They're like, yeah, we'll bring you in as a head coach. But like Bill Belichick has been accustomed to calling every single shot for the Patriots, like top down, and then wasn't going to go anywhere where he couldn't do it. Where a lot of these guys, it's like, if you just played to your strengths, like, hey, you are going to hire a really good defensive coordinator because you're an offensive mind, and like delegate things, rely on the analytics, rely on all these other specialists, and then you just be the leader of men or whatever it takes.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good thing. But these guys get so much hubris and like control mania that I think it ends up being their downfall.
Did I say this on our last podcast? I had got some like inside info on the Bears stadium and had in sale and stuff. So like from,
I don't know if I heard you.
I know a few politicians still, and I know someone who's the lobbyist for the White Sox, and he was telling me that like the Bears were going to go out of the city, right? I'm sure most people know the Bears were moving stadiums to Arlington Heights, which is just outside the city. And so that fell through. That's not happening anymore. And so the Sox were going to get a new stadium. And when the Bears decided they didn't want to go to Arlington Heights, they like weaseled their way in on the bill for the Sox stadium. And now neither are going to get a stadium. So for Chicago fans, don't expect a stadium anytime soon because it's all taxpayer funded for those. And they pay for them with like a tax on hotel fees and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's out. And then he said, from what he heard, the reason the Bears aren't selling is some sort of tax implication. Because Virginia McCaskey's like so old, she has like a different tax structure or something like that.
She's like grandfathered into a night.
Yeah, something about the state. Like maybe it's an NFL thing. Like if you own the team since 1900 or whatever, you got to pay whatever the old deal was and tax it. Who knows what it was? But they got to wait till she dies before they can sell. So we're stuck with the McCaskey regime.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, did Pritzker, I mean, this guy knows Pritzker really well. So there is no stadium and no, so it's all bad news here. So hopefully the coach is really good.
Well, that's what happened to the Chargers, right? They couldn't come up to an agreement with the city to build a new stadium. And so then they left.
I don't know how I feel about that in general. Like, you know, these billionaire companies, does it really need to be taxpayer funded? So like the Sox stadium, like what are they going to do with it? So I mean, it's not that old. It was, you know, it was probably less than 30 years ago, something like that, when it was built, maybe 30 years ago. But what, they're probably just going to tear it down. So it's like, I don't know, do we get our money's worth? So like they pay a fee, so in theory it should pay for itself. But I don't know. Like, and then you get all the visitors, the money from people going to the games, go to the local pubs and the local restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. So like, I don't know if it's totally worth it. And that's also why they're leaving. They want a new stadium. It's because they want to get out of the area they are in the city, in the south side too. They won't publicly say that, but it's definitely true. It's pretty dangerous to walk around the Sox stadium at certain times tonight.
When was the last time you've been to a major league, either baseball or
a couple
or
years Bears ago. Okay. I haven't been to a Sox game in a while, but I went to Cubs game a couple years ago.
Did DK ever, like, when they were offer you like box seats?
Yeah, they gave me like whatever, real good seats, and like Wrigley has this new, like, underneath the stadium food and bar area for like this VIP section. It's actually pretty cool. Wrigley's good.
Yeah.
Wrigley's fine enough. The White Sox, like, if you try to get a cab after a Sox game, don't go too many streets over. Just stick on that first one or hope your Uber comes and gets you.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, I end up going to like one or two Celtics games a year. I have a friend who has season tickets, and even then, like, getting there from my house, like, I just had a flashback when you said cab or Uber, not because of a safety thing, but just because it's such a shit show out of the Garden. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, generally my move is I have to walk like a mile from the Garden then to just call an Uber, you know, because it's just such, and it's just like, it takes all the fun out of it. I'm like, oh yeah, going to a Celtics game. Like, I used to be so excited to go to stuff like that. And now I'm just like, man, unless it's like really good seats, an incredible game, I'm just like, I think I'm good.
Do you think they should make, like, it feels like the, like, residents don't get shit out of it. Kind of like I know they love it, right? It feels like you get taken advantage of from your tribalistic instincts. Right? You're just taking advantage, because like, none of these players are from your neighborhood. They're not from your town. They're not, like, very rarely is the guy actually from there. And they'll leave in the drop of a hat. And, you know, of course they should, because they're getting millions of dollars somewhere else. You know, it feels like they're just taking advantage of your animal brain and tribalistic instincts. And like, maybe they should, like, I don't know, have maybe like require that you play, that like the people are actually from the stadium. I don't know. stay from the area. Well, like, you can't sign Brett Favre. He's from, you know, or Aaron Rodgers. He's in California. He's got to play in the California team.
That's what's just so weird to me, of like, I can wrap my head around traditional fandom, but when you put it like that, or, you know, I think I've said before, like, my friends who I met in college in San Diego who were Chargers fans who swore off the team when they moved, you know, 100 miles up north. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, weren't you rooting for the players? Like, didn't you love rooting for Philip Rivers and LaDainian Tomlinson? Were you really rooting for the laundry that said San Diego? Like, I understand they're not there and you're mad and stuff, but like, don't you still like those players in just a different location? Like, to me, it's way more cool to be like, I fucking love, you know, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and all that. But it's not like, oh no, it's Boston that I like. Like, rooting for the players is what's fun.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think none of it makes sense. I don't think even
rooting for the players. Well, I know you're the no Jersey bro.
Yeah, I'm a no Jersey bro. Like, they're not from your town. They don't know you. They don't like you. They don't care. They would leave if they got more money somewhere else. You know, it's just
it works in both directions. Like, they would leave, but so would the team ship them off if they get a really good trade offer for you or don't like your contract anymore.
Right. But so like, the team is really the thing, but even the team doesn't make any sense anymore because the stadium's no longer the stadium that was there. Right. It's like, it doesn't even, like, they can move the stadium easily. It's just it's just some company, like, you know, like being, you know, a fan of your local Bennigan's. Like, oh no, this one's really good. The assistant manager there is so good. If he leaves, I'm gonna fucking flip out. If he leaves, I'm gonna flip out.
Wait a second. Do you guys still have Bennigan's? I went to Bennigan's when I was a kid, and are those even still around?
I don't know why I said Bennigan's. I think there's one left on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. I think it's the last one left.
So there were a few things that I loved about Bennigan's. Literally the last time I went was probably like in fourth grade in Colorado. Hang on. In 2006, Bennigan's closed most of its New York and New England locations. In July 2008, all of Bennigan's 150 corporate locations, I'm trying to read abbreviated preview, were closed due to the parent company filing for Chapter 7 bankruptcy protection. Several of the international locations, however, remain open. In South Korea, over 30 Bennigan locations still operated as usual. what was I going to say about Bettigan's? One, as a kid, I loved their chicken tenders. They did like these really good fried chicken tender where like the breading was like really crispy. But they also did this thing, Brian, I don't know if you ever remember this, where it was like from when you order your meal, if it is not out within, it was like 10 minutes, it was some time, they would give you the meal for free. And as a kid, my favorite thing in the world is the second they were done taking the order to start timing on the watch and just sweating out if we could get a free meal because they didn't deliver it in time. So I had lots of pleasant memories from Bennigan's as a kid.
Mine was, I went to Bennigan's, but I didn't have that memory. The place I remember liking as a kid was a place called Chi-Chi's. Did you, and that closed down too? Did you guys
never
have a
heard Chi-Chi's? Of Chi-Chi's?
No. Okay. No. Anyone in chat, was there a Chi-Chi's anywhere else? I'm pretty sure it was a chain.
Not Tchotchkes.
Not Chachki's.
Not a Tchotchkes.
That one I don't. That one I know what a Tchotchke is. Or is that, yeah. Is Tchotchke, is that a joke from the movie Office Space? Judge was the.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Jennifer Aniston.
See
your flair.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, I was just gonna say,
I got it.
The
Chi-Chi's was a terrible Mexican restaurant. Willis, you're right. That's exactly it. You got it.
From the Wikipedia article, it shows a Bettigan's from 2004 in Denver, Colorado, and like this fucking takes me back.
Is that yours?
This one looks somewhat familiar. I mean, they all kind of had this facade. Where it almost looks like the Cheers bar, but it's in like fucking suburban Denver, Colorado. 2004 Bennigan's, man. That's where it was at.
That's what it looked like here too, I think. That's fine.
Right, lots of Chi-Chi's heads. Fried ice cream at Chi-Chi's.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I was 8, so I like their they did a hot dog fried in a tortilla shell, right? Very Mexican. Like authentic. Like, oh, this is so authentic. Let's get some Mexican, you know, Mom? Let's get some Mexican. Let's get, you know, fried hot dog.
Look at this. And to think that if I didn't recreate the event to do this show over again, we wouldn't have ended up talking about late 90s, early 2000 chain restaurants.
Yeah. I mean, like, but seriously, like, I don't know why you wouldn't have more affinity for Bennigan's than you would the Nuggets.
Well, I just went on a passionate, and I do feel more strongly about Bettigan's than I do the Nuggets right now. So I get it.
Yeah. Carmelo Anthony does not give a shit about you. He never did.
He certainly did not. Are you guys doing a sim show this week?
We're doing one right after this.
Ooh, why didn't you tell me to do the redirect?
Pete, you want to do the redirect over to Davis's channel?
Sure. I'll go in and do that now. I was going to say, cause I logged in, I was looking at some early BR stuff today and it didn't seem like the caddy had any ownership. Are you going to have it? Or was just not enough people drafting?
There was just an update released two minutes before the show went live, I think. So you might need
okay.
to check that.
A new install update?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it's on there. We're not, I don't think we're going to support the weekly, the BRs though, because there's only like two of them or something. You know, there's BRs for this weekend, I think.
Yeah, there's like the normal 30K up top and the BR and stuff. That's why I was wondering if the caddy was going to have ownership.
Oh, maybe. I don't know if the ownership is going to work for that. I was talking more of the playoffs stuff.
The playoff best ball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why wouldn't the owner? Because it's like the same.
Because in the database, you have to recode like how many weeks there are or something. I don't know. It might work. Let me ask.
Sounds like a Y2K thing. It's like, well, now it's going to switch over to 2000 and our computers can't handle it.
Let me check. I'm not even sure.
Yes, it is a good BR week. I'm excited to play. I was digging in a little bit earlier, but I would love
because isn't it basketball season?
It's here. It's both because even for off and on the clock, we're doing a playoff basketball show today, but then we're going to do our DFS show tomorrow. But yeah, it's a 6-game slate, you know, includes the Monday night game. Tons of options. Running backs pretty weak, but good strength at the other positions. Oh, yes. I was hoping we would get Nerdy Sims again, too. So, yeah, we got to get some ownership, Brian, and then we can have a full regular buffet of BR.
Yeah, hopefully it rolls over. I just asked. We'll find out.
Okay, cool. I'm going to set up that redirect right now. Anything else that people need to check out?
No, I think we did a couple videos, but I probably announced that in our last show that are pretty good, I think. So if anyone is interested in DFS theory, endgamesyndicate.com.
Nice. I'm looking forward to the off season for lots of reasons and having time for stuff. And one of them is getting to have some time to go through and watch a lot of those in-game videos that I haven't had a chance to check out because you guys keep pumping stuff out. I want to say I was hanging out in your Discord the other day and I even saw Yuta was going to be working on like a mid-season NBA video, kind of going through his thoughts on each team, which sounded really cool.
Yeah. He was asking us who wanted to be on it. And he goes, just as long as you know, you're up to date on NBA no ball stuff. And I'm like, well, I'm out.
Well, him and Adam, right? Those are your no ballers.
So him and Adam, I don't know if Dan's doing it, but I'm not.
Yeah. It's fun. I've been enjoying poking in the in-game syndicate. I normally don't venture into other Discords outside of the Deposit Kingdom, but checking in on Yuta's War Room. I like it. He'll throw down some of his kind of whale conviction plays on some sports bets that have been.
I like he's got like inside info and stuff. Like he met the Lions owner on some vacation he took and stuff. And he got his number.
And I get to learn about how many, you know, pudgy penguins he owns. It's it's worth the price of admission. All right, guys. Like I said, tons of options for content today because I realize I'm redirecting you to a show, and then I have my own show at 3. So you can pick your poison here. We're going to be doing playoff best ball and off and on the clock, and then tomorrow. We're going to do DFS for off and on the clock. And then we also have our ship chasing shows, these back-to-back nights more focused on the FFPC playoff content.
Maybe I'll ask Davis to return the favor and we'll go right back to you.
There you go. A little human centipede of action.
You waste here. Your whole day watching these big dummies talk about sports and Sims.
All right. Have a good show. It's hard to, you know, Brian, I'm thinking about the butterfly effect of like, what would have happened with this show if I didn't end it the first time? It's hard to know where we would have ended up.
You could be a millionaire.
I could have won $1 million.
Could have won $1 million right now.
All right. This time I will be ending the stream. We'll see you guys next time.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in 1 for yes, 2 for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.